This is Nerfed! Howdy, everybody. How y'all doing out there? It's your main man, Scott, a.k.a. BobaFay6604. I'm sitting next to...
Andy, a.k.a. Glugon with two N's.
Two N's indeed. Mm-hmm. Welcome to Nerfed, an extremely special occasion today. It's like second Christmas to me.
Yeah, I like second Christmas.
Or, you know, third Hanukkah.
Fourth Hanukkah is better.
Yeah, or my fourth birthday.
Okay.
It's one of the three. We have two very special guests in studio with us in this gorgeous studio. To my left is Jeff Berg.
Hello there.
Actor and starring as the character of Icarus in Mirror's Edge Catalyst, the upcoming Mirror's Edge game, which we'll be talking about in this show. He's also on the show Matador, Blue Bloods, and he's an actor in a bunch of games that we can't talk about. So,
Merry Christmas.
Yes, welcome to the show.
Happy Hanukkah.
And awesome. Sitting to his immediate left is Faye Kingsley. Howdy, Faye.
Hi, how's it going?
Good. She's an actress in Mirror's Edge Catalyst as well. She is the main character, Faith. She's also in Far Cry 3, the show Intelligence, the show Last Resort, and Legends of the Seeker. Welcome to the studio, guys.
Thanks for coming.
Thank you for having us.
This is a beautiful studio.
It's huge. It's massive.
You guys are all class.
You see all the paintings on the wall?
Oh, my gosh. Like that Renaissance.
That is a Van Gogh.
I saw the Monet in the lobby.
That Van Gogh is really interesting.
You know, I painted that myself.
Oh.
You know.
So then it's not a Van Gogh.
I'm his son. I'm his son. You
the
know.
Secrets are revealed.
I'm just saying, you know.
These guys are loaded.
Yeah, it's obvious.
In many ways.
Hey, I'm going to blush. Watch out. Obviously, you're both in the game Mirror's Edge Catalyst. It's upcoming. Not much is known about this game, so we're going to pick your brain, see what you can actually tell us.
We're going to reveal some secrets
all
today.
The secrets.
Oh.
All the secrets. And also, we're going to talk about just like kind of the process. In fact, we want to get to know you a little bit better. Jeff, you could go first. How did you get into video game acting?
It kind of fell into my lap, actually. I didn't really know about this world of the cutscenes and amazing stories that happen in video games. I had this audition. I showed up. I thought it was for a film. And the casting director just said, be expressive and use your body. And next thing I know, we're launched full on into the video game world, book this game, and I'm hooked now.
Nice.
And how about you, Faye?
Well, I started in 2012 when I booked Far Cry 3, the role of Citra.
Oh, cool.
And I auditioned for it like Jeff did, as any kind of film and TV audition. And they were looking for someone who could speak a Southeast Asian language in particular. And so I speak Malay. So I went in, translated the whole thing in Malay, and they loved the language, the sound of the language. And so they brought me back in for callbacks and do it in English with a Malay accent. And that's when I booked Far Cry 3.
Wow.
Abakaba.
Kababae. Ebola chaka bas Melayu.
Man, we're just learning new
Where's
stuff left and right.
Malay. Yeah, from like Malaysia. Indonesia.
Okay, I didn't connect
Bahasa Melayu.
That was pretty bad.
Does that happen
often? We speak
often?
American here.
I know, I'm just total American.
We speak American.
Yeah. Does that happen often, though, where like, you know, obviously we're not actors. You know, we don't have actor hair. You just go in for a random gig or whatever, right? For what do you call it?
It's called an audition.
An audition, yes. An audition, yeah. The word just like exited my brain.
Interview.
Interview, audition.
A test.
Do you just go to an audition and you don't know what it's for?
No, we don't know it's for a video game usually, but they bring you in based on your skill sets and your talents. Like I do a lot of accents and languages. So typically I'm brought in if I need to be speaking Chinese or Malay or doing some kind of Chinese accent and or British, stuff like that.
And I'm brought in if they need like super buff.
Super Canadian.
Really big, tough
Definitely.
Dudes.
Just a burly big, voice.
Burly voice.
You just saw in logs with that voice. I hear it.
Yeah, it's one of those things with the NDAs and video games. The actual name of the audition has nothing to do with the game.
Oh, nothing.
So this was called Pamplona.
Wow. No way.
Oh, gotcha.
Pamplona.
And we had no idea what it was.
That sounds like a porn, guys. That sounds
like a porn.
I don't know about your age.
There's also
there.
Like Unicorn Vengeance.
Yeah.
There's Color Tribes. It's Yeah, they use really special code
names. So Roots.
Yeah.
Oh, kidding.
So we're hitting an era in gaming and nerd culture in general where it's becoming mainstream. So do you feel like you're getting more video game acting auditions? Is this something that's really rolling? If you notice in the last few years, it's a big thing now?
Yeah, definitely. I would say it's probably about 30% for me video games, wow, and 70% still TV and film. But even when you're talking about the voiceover arena, you're also auditioning for voiceovers in video games now. And that's fairly, I would have to say, probably every 2 weeks I have at least one.
Wow.
Wow. Okay.
So, yeah, I think it's really picking up.
Yeah, it has.
I was going to say Mirror's Edge is my first game. Mm-hmm. And while I can't talk about the other stuff,
right,
because of that, I've kind of got into the club. It's like once you're in, they've opened the door and say, "Oh, we like you here.
Right.
You work with us well."
Right.
And so the floodgates have kind of opened.
And you know the technology.
Yeah, especially knowing the motion capture technology and the voiceover technology, just knowing how to work with that. Mm-hmm. People are like, "Okay, we like working with you, and you know how to work with this stuff."
And so, you're an okay actor. Kind of like okay.
I'm okay.
So yeah, I guess like I'm coming into this with no knowledge, obviously. So you guys are actors first. Are you like film actors or like voice actors first?
I'm definitely a film and TV actor first, and then I kind of by default got into voiceover and video games.
Uh-huh.
And voiceover has sort of come after video games because when I started, it was just you audition like you would for a TV and film. You're still acting the entire time.
Right.
You're in that situation. You're a character. You're a person. When you're focusing just on voiceover, you're a bit more. You're just in one space. You're not moving around.
Right.
In character. So you just it's more like being really good at your voices and pitch and tone and what you can manipulate with your own voice. So that's more voiceover. That came later for me.
Yeah, I'm a theater trained actor, and the idea of being in a video game seemed like a whole other dimension. Like,
right.
It was something that I didn't even know existed, and this game and the other ones that I've worked on have kind of really excited me because video games are now these incredible narratives.
It's like playing a movie.
Yeah,
it's a movie.
But movies, players get more involved in the game, so they have more options and choices, and they become that person. And so for actors, working on these scenes, the scripts are dramatic and exciting.
So high stakes. Nice. I mean, the stakes like are awesome. So high.
Because what I've learned is that
the world's going to explode.
Yes. And you can see the world. Yeah. It's like, yeah.
Oh, my God.
These scenes have to keep moving because the player wants to play. I mean, it's
absolutely,
it's about the story, and it has to keep things moving. So it isn't like a long, drawn-out process. It's like
high drama at all times.
The stakes
TV
are,
on steroids.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's really cool.
So it's this new frontier for us that we get to work on something that is as good or better than TV or film, and yet it's this whole new medium. So we feel very fortunate.
Yeah, that's you guys awesome. Are on like the cutting edge almost.
It is.
Yes, we are.
Yes. That's
the cutting edge of the mirror.
I am the edge.
We are the catalyst.
Are you the
edge? You are the catalyst.
Oh, okay, there you go. There you go.
We're right. The edge of the mirror.
So when you guys are auditioning, who is it just like a typical movie audition? Do you have a person from the game that's actually like a director, like who is, so it's a director.
Yeah, there's the video game director, which is very similar to like when you're in TV and film, you have a director.
Right.
And then you have the person that wrote it as well, so the writer's there.
Cool.
And then there's also the producers of the game. So it's very similar to a TV and film audition in that their key players are in that room to make sure that you are that character that they're looking for.
Nice.
Yeah, we had this amazing director, Tom Keegan. And Tom comes from a theater background.
Uh-huh.
And in the callbacks, for instance, we had this wide open space, and he just gave the freedom. He said, don't worry about a camera.
Yeah.
Don't worry about playing in a certain direction. He's like, I want you to be open and free and just live in this world. And so right off the bat, we had the freedom to use our bodies and play. And it was kind of exciting to have this because quite often in film and television, you have your mark and you know, you can't move. And with this, it's just a wide open space. It's fantastic.
So it sounds like you guys are happy and excited to be working kind of the gaming industry, and it's
absolutely
fun.
Oh,
and
I gotta say it's also quite a long process, so you do get quite a lot of work out of it. I mean, you do your motion capture, but then you also do your voiceover, and you really maintain a lot of contact with the people on the project.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's great.
And they use you for other little things, and they bring you in for other things, and it is a small industry.
Yep.
Yeah, we started last December.
Oh wow.
And we just did some voiceover 2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago, we've been doing more. And I heard there's some like downloadable content stuff that may be coming later. So
I don't know. Sometime.
My God. So you guys mentioned motion capture, and I want to talk a little bit about that because Mirror's Edge, especially the first one, and I'm assuming the second one, is all about like parkour. It's all about movement, gunplay, you know, that kind of cool shit. What's the process behind motion capture? I mean, most of us just see, you know, they put on the ping pong balls.
That's all people know.
Balls.
Like just seeing actors in balls.
You put balls on yourself.
That sounds really sexual. I would rather sort of interject and say markers.
Markers.
You know,
markers.
Right?
Round, ball-like, spherical.
Balls.
So you start with putting on this really sexy, skin-tight bodysuit.
Really sexy bodysuit.
Oh, and the balls are the bad part.
Balls.
The sexy markers. Okay. Are then placed on and it captures your movement, and then you're put in a helmet and it captures also your facial expression. So they even, you have to overpronounce certain sentences like Sally is a snake
and choo choo.
It's really moving your mouths.
Monkey mayhem.
and
the camera is really flattering, so it's essentially 3 inches away from your face.
Right.
And we're doing scenes really intense and you have to look over the helmet camera, knowing that there's the worst possible
angle.
It's right up,
and Jeff has
right
a huge
nose.
Huge schnoz.
So. Yeah, big schnoz.
You don't see anything else but that nose.
Yeah.
So you're saying flattering. What if you have something in your teeth? Does that pop up?
Yeah, you see everything.
Yeah. Thankfully, that doesn't pop up in the digital like in the data download.
Yeah.
But
that'd be great if Icarus, like, just for like a few frames, you know, had a big piece of celery just sticking out.
We also ramen, and you do all these weird physical exercises to sort of like ramen to the system, and then you do a T pose and
T pose happens.
T-pose?
So a T pose is how they. It's really funny because it doesn't matter how big the celebrity is you're working with or who they are.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
Everyone
is
in the suit, and everyone has to do these T poses. So literally at the beginning of every take and at the end of every single take,
you have to look like Jesus.
Yeah,
you do
the crucifix.
Really? The crucifix pose.
Do you know the reason they do that?
It's to get the.
It's to end. Like, scene. It's like, you know, when there's a cut.
Oh.
Yeah, so they're just doing it so that everyone knows when to stop. Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
And and they can get all the data from that.
Yeah.
It's like a prone position.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's funny, we'll have a super intense scene and kind of lost in it,
and then
the scene ends and
T-pose.
Kind of walking around just like just kind of living in that feeling, and then you hear the first AD, T-pose, and we're all like, okay, I guess we're out of this now.
And so for a game like this, how big is the studio where you guys are mocapping? Like, are we talking like huge green screens? Are we talking small, like little rooms?
It was like a stadium.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It was a big, big space.
Yeah. Wow.
Because the sets are really, you want to move in from one room to another sometimes. And there's no cuts in these scenes, like in motion capture. The scene goes all the way through. So the scene could start for... It could be 2 minutes. It could be 10 minutes. You go all the way through, moving through the entire section.
If you do one thing wrong, they have to stop. There's no...
All over again.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So it was a big space.
That's got to be a challenge for an actor.
It's cool. I like the challenge because coming from a theater background...
And you probably played football. Come on.
You know, hockey.
Soccer.
I was a hockey.
Oh, he's
Damn
a
it.
Hockey.
Damn
hockey.
It.
Hockey.
I played badminton.
Okay. Oh, that's competitive.
That's competitive, yeah.
The Malay badminton team.
Yeah.
You know.
And squash.
Yes.
And squash. Oh, boy.
Commonwealth country.
Yes.
I was going to say, that is not Mississippi.
Yes. What was I saying? So
the challenge.
The challenge. So working a scene and building up from beginning, middle, and end, as opposed to starting at the end and then having to work your way back, it's feeds us.
Yeah.
And then what I really love is that there's 360 degrees of cameras around
us.
And so there's no point where you have to be open to camera. You're always open to camera. And then the DP can come in later and cut to where you were. So we have the freedom to play, to use our imagination. And it's really an actor's medium.
It's not a set, you know, there's nothing on there. You're using a plastic toy. Everything is even the walls are see-through.
Wow.
But the best thing about, I think, in you know, working in motion capture, they show you, the video game developers show you the room itself. You see everything from a computer screen standpoint. Cool. And then you start, you're going into the scene with that in your imagination.
Oh, okay.
So you know where you're moving. You can see it in your mind's eye. It's almost as if you're in two sort of realities. You're in your motion capture marker suit, and you're also in
balls.
And you're also in that balls. computer space that balls. And you're living through it. Balls everywhere.
Markers.
Yes,
get that everywhere. Right.
Yeah, it's crazy. Sometimes the prop guys are insane what they can do.
Uh-huh.
There'll be a door that literally just slides with a sandbag below it, and we pull it, and then all of a sudden they'll show it after the take on the screen, and you can see us pulling it within minutes.
That's crazy.
You can see us pulling an actual door.
Yeah,
that was
really
in there.
Cool.
It's really
it's
amazing.
Like live technology.
Yeah.
My God.
Yeah.
So with Mirror's Edge, like I mentioned, like the physicality involved with the game itself. I mean, it's like, you know, it's a lot of parkour. And did you guys do any actual stunts for the game?
I did every single stunt.
We're parkour champions.
Yeah.
That's actually why we were cast.
I scaled buildings. I jumped out of.
Right. Right.
Yeah. So that was all real.
All real.
It's all real.
Everything.
I was uncertain about that. Now you've cleared that up for me.
I've been in training for 2 years, guys.
We do some parkour in here?
Like right now?
Yeah.
I need proof.
As long as I can hear
scale
you.
Scale that building.
Oh, easy. I did it. I did it already.
Wow.
I just did it. You guys missed it. I'm so fast. Oh,
damn it.
I would say that I did do a couple of stunts, actually.
Right.
There's this one where I jumped onto a moving train and then landed off perfectly into this amazing parkour position on gravel. And that's what happens in sort of that's what I told
itself.
Happens.
She
but
was pretty amazing.
I was amazing
it.
Doing it.
We were so
I mean, it was only like 2 feet, but I mean,
that moving train
was real to
right.
me. I was like, oh my God. And that was a major
so
stunt.
So rolls and jumps, essentially.
Rolls, jumps, also, and also I think the parkour
but punches
position.
And stuff, right? You're punching.
Yeah,
there you go.
All that stuff.
But then we have a whole team in Sweden
that actually make it look
actually
real.
Oh, okay. So there's like stunt people for the game.
Yes.
Yeah, so they cast people that have our body types and make us look badass.
Yeah.
Nice. Very cool. Very cool.
Toksimika Svenska. Thank you, guys.
Fika. That means coffee.
We've learned that
coffee time.
The video game world is ruled by the Swedes. And
really? I'm half Swedish.
Oh, there you go.
Hey, Aliopa.
Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah. So we learned to love the Swedes. They're wonderful.
Love the Swedes.
Now, what if you really have to piss really bad when you have those suits on?
Yeah,
oh, my God, what a question.
Your balls.
What do you do?
Your balls deep. You're supposed to go before you start, and then there's a break in the middle. You really only get to go twice, right? You go before and then after. If it's an emergency situation, they literally have to kind of help you get out of the suit.
I guess
all Lycra. It's
without going into it too deep. It's easier for boys.
It's easier.
Because you don't have to fully derobe, essentially.
Yeah. And the worst part, though, you have to remember to tell someone to turn your helmet camera off.
Yeah.
So you're not just sitting there.
Computer animated bathroom breaks.
Yeah.
Little Naked Gun scene with a camera, like, right up my nose. I'm like, oh, great.
So how long would it take to get into a suit? I mean, let's say it's like a lot of ball markers we're talking
balls.
Here. So how long is the whole setup to get you on stage and ready
basically,
to go?
Basically, if we want to start filming by 10 a.m.,
uh-huh.
we get there for breakfast at 7:30. 8 o'clock, we start getting into suits. And there's a whole team of amazing people. Each person has their specific job. Like, one guy will be just putting balls on you. And someone else will be doing the makeup.
It's a lucky man right there. Lucky man.
And then configuring the helmet cam, making sure that that's all working.
Right.
And yeah.
There's a sound department that has like
shoes. You have to get your shoes the right size and comfortable. Yeah, it's. I would say it's a good hour.
And then
hour and a half.
And then the cool thing with Tom, our director, it blew my mind that we did this. So we got into our helmet cameras and our suits, and we'd gather around and we'd do basically theater warm ups,
group exercises.
Oh, wow.
To get warmed up.
And
a little yoga, huh?
We'd be doing connecting with our voice, getting our body awake, and then running around and just getting used to having the helmet cam on and as if
so
it
you
wasn't
don't,
even
yeah,
there
so you don't
oh,
feel
cool.
you
yeah.
don't feel you're in the suit, you don't feel the camera, you're more just in your body.
Cuz at first it's literally
distracting.
It's very distracting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Doing a hug scenes where we have to hug or something, it's
I mean, it's
what about like kissing scenes? Like, I know in a lot of cutscenes. I don't know if Mirror's Edge.
I haven't done.
It.
I think in one of your last games.
I mean, it's.
Are you just like close to their face and you're making believe?
Do you pop helmets?
Yeah, yeah. You do pop helmets, but I think you usually film one person's perspective first, and right. then you film the other person's perspective, so that person can go in closer, mm-hmm. so that you're not.
I'm going in.
Yeah.
And then we can also do where the helmet camera comes off, and we have like a mocap hat.
Oh, okay.
With balls on the hat, mm-hmm. and
it's all about the balls.
It's all.
This episode's
balls.
Theme is balls.
Balls.
Yeah, I think.
Balls on your head?
Balls on your chin?
Oh, Lord.
So are you guys gamers at all? Do you guys, what's your video game background?
I'm a social gamer right now, but cool. I mean, I used to play a lot when I was younger. Like, I played KKND, Duke Nukem,
oh,
Resident
nice.
Evil, Red Steel, stuff like that.
Okay. Badass shit.
Yeah,
okay.
Badass. And, like, right now I'm more into... different types of that, board games more than
okay.
video
oh,
games.
Wow.
I mean, I still have people that play like TF2, more
right.
online video games. But I would like to, I mean, I'll, and also I really want to get back into, I like the Resident Evil franchise, to
oh,
be
yeah,
honest,
absolutely.
Because I've got ties to that history.
Right.
So, yeah. That's my experience.
Yeah,
nice.
I was a Nintendo
Tetris,
Sega Genesis.
Okay,
yeah. I love Tetris.
I'm a Tetris
oh,
genius.
Tetris is
no,
great.
Dude, that's yeah. my domain.
So,
I am Tetris badass.
So wow. touch her Tetris.
So, I was a big Mario kid when it first came out.
Oh my God, there's another person that calls Mario Mario.
You're from the East Coast, am I right?
Yeah.
Mario.
I saw a New York.
I thought Andy
on
was the only person.
I
on
say
Earth.
That too. See, I'm not alone.
Always
you guys
says Mario.
Teasing me, Mario. And
I'm just amazed.
Mega there. Man. I used to love Mega Man.
Oh, okay.
The
Mega
Capcom.
Man's awesome.
Yeah. A lot of hours wasted on that. Contra.
Great.
Prince
Doom.
Of Persia.
Ooh,
no.
there
great
you go.
Game.
Wow.
Great game.
Legend of Zelda.
Okay.
Lemmings. Lemmings.
The original.
Come on.
Lemmings. Just
trying
to
Lemmings.
Line up each other.
That's
dude,
a great game.
I,
a
but my
game.
Big thing.
Wow. Okay.
I was a sports game guy. So
same here.
The NHL games for me.
Okay.
NHL 95.
NHL 93.
Oh, three. Okay.
Where they had this glitch where you could do the wraparound on the net and the goalie
oh.
would always get stuck.
Yeah, that was some.
Or you could punch.
Stuff.
You could punch people and the blood would end up on
the
on
blood,
the ice.
They took the blood out eventually, but the blood was everything.
The blood was everything.
It was so
you know?
The blood
important.
Was everything.
Yeah.
It was.
So I love the original, like the early Madden, the early NHL. The
what about late
bases loaded? Lately, it's funny. I haven't really played many games lately. So when we were at E3 and we got to do the demo for Mirror's Edge,
I mean, I was badass. He
we
was
were,
terrible.
Yeah, you.
Yeah, I did.
They were filming us playing it.
Yeah,
and I was amazing, and he's like dying.
I'm like, when I played, there was only one direct. Like, there was two buttons. And it was that would jump and that would punch, and then this one would move. Now the controller, I
right?
Mean, you guys are probably all laughing at me.
I'm laughing
this.
Inside.
All the
I'm
gamers
laughing.
Are like, you're
not outside.
You're nerfing yourself
oh.
right now.
Oh.
Boom! Reference.
Whoa!
Extra points.
Yeah, but
you've been nerfed.
It was so incredible. Like I could move my shoulder with one. Like, well, your shoulder, because we're playing as you.
Yes.
But the games are so complex, and it kind of blew my mind.
I mean, it's just hand-eye coordination. I mean,
yeah.
I think
well,
it's...
I was good with, like, real sports.
Oh, okay. Oh. Well, whatever, dude.
Oh.
It's just hand-eye coordination.
Jeff the jock over here.
Yeah, I'm such a jock, guys. Guys, I'm going to go do some goldfish shots later.
Do some push-ups.
Push-ups.
Oh my God. That's amazing. So Jeff, as Icarus in this new game, you just appear as the voice, or do you?
No. Okay. So basically, I'm her right hand man.
Okay.
So she's a badass runner. She's probably like the second best runner in the city.
Like the first in the
second
world.
Best
right.
in
yeah.
the history
yeah.
of all mankind.
I'm her right hand man. So along the journey, I show up and help Faith along the way. What I love is that we have this little competitive thing going on,
uh-huh.
and I just love pushing her buttons
okay.
and thinking that she's not good enough.
You never get to me, though, like ever.
I beg
I
to
I mean,
differ.
You never get to Faith,
I,
ever.
I just, throughout the game, I love testing her.
Mm-hmm.
And,
right. and he fails, just saying.
Oh.
Because I was going to ask, like, what is it like to play yourself? Since you're the lead character, Faye, what is it like to play Faith?
What's it like to play Faith? It's... awesome. She is a badass free runner, and you know, she lives on the rooftops of the City of Glass, and she makes a living doing secret missions, and you know, she's a high-tech burglar and a corporate spy. I mean, that's pretty awesome.
Pretty
just saying that is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
So she's just got an attitude about her that I can totally resonate with, but she's probably, you know, more likable than I'll ever be, you know, because she's aspirational and she's like leadership qualities that I definitely aspire to have. But it was just total privilege getting to play someone like Faith, because she's just got, I don't know, just the attitude that I love about her. Just, it's a kind of way of living fearlessly, you know?
And how about when you had that controller in your hand? Like, what did it like to feel like to play?
Technically,
you played.
We all saw how she played.
It really was like heaven. It was like an out of body experience, you know?
Yeah, because like,
I can't quite describe
that's your mocap body, right?
Like, yeah.
I mean, do they take any liberties with that? Or, I mean, you know,
she's way more fit and she looks way more toned and she looks super physically awesome.
Yeah, she's really badass.
Really me, but no. Just way better. Like
so
a
they
thousand
so they
times better.
So the character down is what you're saying.
And I joke
flatten
that,
her out. And
no, she's like a thousand times better physically. Like, wow, you know?
Ooh. Ooh.
Yes. I joke that Icarus, it's me with a Swedish male model over my body. I can see my movements, but this guy, he's super buff and he's super hot. Like, oh,
fair enough.
It seems like me, but it's not.
But it's not you at all.
It's not me.
Yeah.
Well, actually, I think that's kind of cool with, like, you know, being an actor. If you're in film, you're just yourself, you know, and like you're playing yourself, but you're also physically there. But in the video game, it's like almost a different element. Like you're playing yourself, but like they change your outward appearance. Can you speak about that?
Well, I think there's already an original Mirror's Edge, and they've already been sort of established. So they were really looking more for like the essence and the soul of what we can bring to the story.
Yeah.
And it didn't really matter because I mean, I've done video games and so has Jeff, where you don't look anything like
the character.
I mean, you are really, you're just bringing that, like I said, the soul to life. That's your job, mm-hmm. Is to make it as real as possible to yourself so the gamer gets the sense that this is real. This is really happening. And that's our jobs to sort of do that.
Yeah, I never really thought about what Icarus looked like face-wise. Mm-hmm. For me, it was the physicality of his body movements and how he carried himself. But what I found really cool, there's a little Easter egg in the game.
Uh-oh.
Where I play another character for one scene.
With a different accent.
With a different accent,
guaranteed.
Different physicality.
You'll never guess who.
If you can find it, you get a big
Maybe we'll give people
up.
A pizza when the game comes out, if they can figure it out.
You like giving out pizzas. That's
we like giving out pizzas.
Yeah.
We give out pizzas.
I'll help you with the pizza.
I also play another one as
well.
Oh, man, two Easter eggs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yes.
But I wonder if anyone will figure it out. That's
cool.
Might be two pizzas.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Do you actually know when the game is coming out?
Yes, May 24th, 2016.
May 24th, 2016.
On PS4.
So we don't
Xbox One.
And PC.
Oh. Gives us time to save up. Gives us time to save up for the pizzas.
Yes. Yeah. It does, yeah. Something interesting about this game is that some people that haven't played it still know the artwork. Like, it's that Faith shot, like the way she is.
Tattoo
like,
on the
just,
eye.
Yeah. Like, you recognize that game, that artwork. Like, you know, okay, this is Mirror's Edge. Even if you haven't played it, you know it. It's got just, like, that distinctive artwork. And I really like that style. Do you guys know anything about the artwork in the game and how that...
I've seen a lot of it come up because we got invited to this Mirror's Edge fan page on Facebook. And it gets posts all the time with these amazing original artworks that people do.
Yeah.
And it seems like I love the style that people bring to it. Mm-hmm. And there seems like there's a real energy about the game already because of this artwork. And it's exciting to see.
Yeah,
I totally agree. I love looking at all these new interpretations of how Faith can look in different scenarios and different environments.
And I'm excited about the cosplay for Faith.
Like, yeah.
Even at E3, we saw a couple of Faiths.
Yeah. That's awesome.
That was trippy, especially it was the first time that we'd been out kind of seeing the game.
Being real people.
Yeah.
Are you guys going to dress up as your characters for Halloween?
Yes.
That'd be amazing.
I mean, I do it before Halloween.
Oh.
Yeah.
She actually dresses like her all the time.
All the time.
It's too bad this isn't a video podcast.
I know, because you would see me with my tattoo and all that.
It's literally.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
I got a real tattoo. No, I didn't.
Yeah.
And Jeff, you are buff. I mean, you were right.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Right. I did 100 push-ups.
Excuse
before.
Me. We both work out.
Yes.
Wow. Just as buff.
My bad. Well, Faith is a female protagonist, mm-hmm. obviously. Mm-hmm. And right now we're kind of in this era where like female protagonists are at the forefront. Which is, you know, excellent, obviously. So, you know, question for you guys. On a scale from 1 to Katniss, where does Faith rank?
Oh, my God. Is that even a question? So
guys,
what is
seriously.
It? 1 out of 10? 1 out of 10? I would say she's like 1,000 out of 10.
There you go.
Like Spinal Tablets. She's at 11.
She's at 11?
Everyone else is at 10.
Well, yeah. I would say 12. 12 out of 10.
See, she always has to one-up me.
So even above Furiosa, even above...
All
I
of them.
Know.
Everything. I mean, she's
Susan
a truly
Sarandon.
she's a truly unique female protagonist character in a video game. Well, within the video game industry, because she doesn't use guns and she doesn't have any superpowers.
Right.
You know, she just uses her fists, her feet, and the environment. She's super resourceful. Mm-hmm. She's like the MacGyver of the streets. You know. Mm-hmm.
I like that.
No one's gonna get
the MacGyver of the streets.
MacGyver of the streets. I think she's such a
street MacGyver.
Some people will.
She's a great. Kind of mentor for young girls to look up to. I think she
leadership quality.
Yeah. I like it because she takes a stand when other people won't in the game.
Right.
I think that's really cool because she takes a leadership role when everyone else is kind of being sheep, and she's smart and she's got these great abilities and she inspires other people to fight. So where as Icarus, I you know,
aww,
at first
thanks.
I,
thanks Icky. Thanks Icky.
At first I thought that she's nothing and she actually pushes us to be better.
Thank you.
I even hate saying that out loud, but I have to admit it.
Sometimes you gotta bite the bullet.
Yep.
You know, we've watched the trailers and the trailer seems to suggest that the story is kinda like The Island, the Michael Bay movie.
Oh,
or
yeah.
like
yeah,
1984. Yeah. It's kind of got like that
George Orwell.
Yeah, yeah, you know, like the oppressive government, totally. And like Faith is kinda like breaking out. This is all conjecture. I don't really know. I got that impression. Can you, without, you know, spoiling anything, obviously, or violating your DBA.
No,
what can you tell us about the story?
I think that is an incredible analogy, 1984, for the Mirror's Edge Catalyst.
You're so smart,
really,
guys.
Where did that come from?
You guys, you've done your research.
Well,
what?
Well,
I mean,
nerfed.
I would say that it resonates with that because the City of Glass, which is ruled by, you know, ruthless conglomerates of corporations,
uh-huh.
and their privacy and personal freedom is not given to regular people anymore, mm-hmm. you know? And the citizens are also willing participants in their own enslavement by being numbed with mindless consumption and pointless entertainment.
Yeah, so like...
You know, does that sound familiar?
Yeah. Anyone know anything like
yeah.
that? It's like...
No, of course not.
No.
What are you talking about?
No.
It's like if anyone questions the rulers... They just disappear.
Poof,
gone. And never to be seen again.
Ooh, never to return.
And it's this fear that keeps people in check so that they follow the rulers, mm-hmm. and then the greed and envy that drives them forward.
And Faith is going to be a key player in sort of taking a stand against the oppression of these ruling elite people and become a catalyst for change in a society that desperately needs it to mm-hmm. survive.
Mm-hmm. And so where does the runners and like the parkour fit into this? Is that just like a counterculture?
You know what? I think that's a really good observation because I think parkour is really, it's a philosophy. You know, it's a way of living. Mm-hmm. It's almost like a form of retaliation. In my research, when we were like, I mean, I did a little bit of research about parkour and what that really means. It's an attitude.
Uh-huh.
It's a form of expression. Mm-hmm. And it's also a state of mind. So because they live off the grid, you know, they live in the shadows of society. I think parkour lends itself as this perfect bridge into, you know, like being like animals, like running through
right,
the city.
Right.
Like nothing holds bars, nothing holds them back, and physical barriers become a part of how they live.
Yeah, freedom. Like, I feel like parkour is a great way to show that they have this freedom of choice. They can run. There's even parts in the game where you can run and play and explore on your own without even working on your mission.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Okay, it's a little open world.
I wouldn't say that. It's like, it's more, I think freedom of choice.
Yeah, free roaming. Yeah. And the, I mean, the city is huge. Cool. It's huge. So you've just got so much to sort of explore, from like the structures of the rooftops to the nitty gritty of the tunnels.
Cool.
And I think combining this really great fluid movement and advanced combat as faith, it's just such a trip. It's such a ride.
That's cool. And Mirror's Edge is a very, it's its own thing. It's like, it's kind of like, there's a lot of games that are competing with each other, like Call of Duties and the typical games, but this is so unique, this style of game, like how you play it, how you're in, you know, her eyes and you're jumping from buildings and the way that it's made, like we saw the trailer and the graphics look amazing and just the style of the game is, it's unique in itself. So, and that's hard to find in gaming these days because everyone's just stealing from each other. And from the start, Mirror's Edge just kind of had that feel. Like, how do you feel when you played it? Like, just being able to be immersed in that style of game.
It felt like playing something in the future, you know? It's really a glimpse into what will lie ahead. I think, like, that the essence of that style, that minimalist kind of clean, crisp, there's something kind of oddly familiar about how we see the future looking.
Right.
I think they really got it right.
White glass.
Yeah.
Projection. Holograms, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And pulled it back. They didn't try to do too much. They just did just what seems to be about right, you know?
Cool. Yeah. That's a cool style. Yeah. What did you think of playing it, Jeff?
Yeah, I remember thinking back in, you know, Mega Man and Metroid days that the graphics were so amazing.
Yeah, right?
Like, this is insane. And I'd look at my Nintendo Power magazine and see the ratings.
My God.
Yeah, this is
You can
incredible.
See his eyes blinking.
Yeah. And now, like, the I mean, with the motion capture, the facial movements and how real the characters are, I love that. And also, to kind of piggyback onto what Faye said, the city is unique. It's like you can hear birds chirping at some points. You see like soft mist starts to come sometimes at night. I mean, the detail that went into it, it's like all these different types of environment that are possible in real life are happening in the game. And it was almost kind of trippy that, wow, this is mirroring life. And
that's on cool. the mirror's edge.
Yeah. Yes.
Unbelievable.
The edge of mirrors.
The edge of the mirror.
It is the catalyst.
And from what we understand, this is a reboot. Is that correct?
And this is kind of weird to me because, like, this is the second Mirror's Edge game, and most of times you'll have a second game, and that is the sequel, you know? Mm-hmm. So what is different here? Why is this a reboot and not a sequel?
While the original Mirror's Edge has a really special place in the hearts of everyone at DICE, they all saw that it had a lot of potential.
Yeah.
And so what they wanted to do was introduce it to a new generation by sort of maintaining the core of the game, but bringing, which the core of the game is the style and also the first-person game perspective, and just making it even better, you know?
So they reevaluated every aspect of the game. But at the same time, they wanted to make it a new experience that would honor the first game, but then bring in all this cool new gameplay.
Yeah. So, for example, DICE has really placed a huge emphasis on the flow of movement, the combat, and also free roaming, so that you as a player, you have a lot more choice.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, go explore.
That's cool.
So I guess DICE is really just telling Faith's origin story from becoming this wonderful,
carefree
runner to this heroine that is what would you say, a catalyst for change.
Oh, wow. I like the use of the word.
Yes.
Awesome. So basically, if this is not a sequel, is DICE in hopes of making this maybe a trilogy? Are they planning or is this something I've reached into an area that cannot be. So I'll just
balls.
But yes, balls. Yes.
Balls.
Markers.
It's markers, guys.
I will assume that they are hoping for big things from this.
We are too.
We would love it. Yeah.
You know, and obviously if they're rebooting it, they're putting a lot into it. And I mean, the trailer looks really good. And
oh yeah.
We didn't get to play it at E3, but
we did not.
We might missed you there.
It's a shame.
We might have crossed paths.
We'll see you this year.
We'll see you this year. We're going to be there this year. So we might catch
Nerf's
it.
All about, we're all about like playing games and having a good time. So,
May 24th, 2016.
Boom.
Yes.
Buffer.
Well, if you can't tell us that, like what's on the edge of that mirror that you can tell us about Mirror's Edge Catalyst? You know,
Downloadable content?
It's more mirrors.
And more edges.
Okay. That's good enough for me.
I was glad they added more edges because I was worried there was too many mirrors and not enough edges.
It was
edges.
A little rounded. I was going to say, some
the ratio
edges.
To mirrors to edges.
Wait, what's the question? What's beyond the edge of the mirror?
What can you...
very
what
vague, guys.
You're so introspective.
Specificity.
You know, it's an existential question.
No kidding.
Like, well, more specifically, what can you tell us about Mirror's Edge Catalyst?
Well, here's something.
Okay.
Well, in Mirror's Edge Catalyst, you get to play the character of Faith Connors.
There you go. There
who is a free runner.
Yeah. All right.
And she stumbles upon, on one of her secret missions, being a corporate spy high-tech burglar, the hidden truths of what lies beneath the City of Glass, this pristine, gorgeous metro Uber city.
Yeah.
And it changes her life forever. The trajectory of where she was to becoming the person that she's going to be. That trend, you know when you're a kid and you finally realize that you have to become an adult?
Uh-huh.
That transition moment. That
hasn't happened
no?
yet for me.
Okay, no. Boys.
None of us know what you're talking
that
about.
That moment there, her trajectory for life is completely and forever changed.
Oh, okay.
So it's a coming of age tale.
Yes.
Nice.
Okay, see, yeah. We learned something.
Yes. What else can I... The city is, it's huge. Faith has, you know, she's the center of it. Her movement is really fluid. So one of the things that players can watch out for.
Okay.
This is a little secret.
Okay, see, this is what I'm digging.
We like
I'm digging for these
little
secrets.
Secret.
I'm going to be like, hey, tell me a secret about Mirror's Edge Catalyst.
Nerf loves secrets.
All the dice people are like, please don't say.
Oh, they're not going to listen to this shit. They're like, Nerf who?
Thank you, 10 people, for listening to us today.
Yes.
We care about you.
Yes.
I love you.
We love you.
The secret that I can share
is
that while you're parkouring through this city with Faith's fluid, wonderful, badass movements, don't forget to look down.
Oh, yeah, that's a good
and
one.
And up.
Ooh.
Oh. Yeah, that's
because,
a good one.
Because, you know, there's a lot of stuff happening straight ahead.
Straight ahead.
But look, there's buildings that you're running on. And sometimes, maybe if you look
pointer.
Over the edge
of the mirror,
it will
yeah.
be the catalyst for new excitement
yes.
and adventure.
That's a really great secret.
Oh,
yeah.
I like that secret.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Look down and look up.
I love it.
And maybe Icarus will be there to help you.
I hope not. Just joking. He's always there.
Are you like peering around the corner and everything?
Like,
are you like spying on
I
the
just
player?
Like, I creepily pop up through the game.
Get out of here, Icarus.
Like,
Jesus.
Hey,
Faith, what are you doing? That's my voice in the game. Faith.
And I'm like, Icarus, well, get alive.
I did hear you mention, Jeff. I heard the three letters, DLC. So you're talking downloadable content for this game.
Yeah, which is really exciting. And we don't know anything about it, like not even NDA stuff. Just like we don't know. All
right.
I know is
that there will be
cool stuff to follow.
Next 2 to 3 months, I would
say. Yeah. And
wow.
Yeah, so I think DICE is really excited about that as well because they love this game. And we, like, one of the cool things about it is that we really love working on it.
We love them.
And then
they're awesome to work with. They're a great family. We sent them Christmas messages, actually.
Oh, really?
Sweden.
Yeah, little selfies. And I'm all like, hey, Merry Christmas, Sweden.
Hey,
DICE.
Alupa.
Yo,
yeah.
My brothers and my sisters. Yeah. And you did the same. And yeah.
Yeah. So I love that, nice. Like the little family, because we've been working on this
for
a
year.
Nice. And every month or so we get together and do voiceover again.
Right.
Wow, so, a full year.
Yeah.
That's
unbelievable.
We started December
awesome,
last year. And they had started 2 years before that with developing. So
it's like
a
feature film.
It's
like a feature
film. Yeah. It is. Yeah, it's a long process. And then the other aspect that I love is getting into this, I didn't know that people already loved Mirror's Edge so much.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I had no clue.
It's kind of like a cult hit.
Yeah, and I'm
it's
really...
It's like snakes on a plane.
Oh,
what?
Yeah. More like Sharknado.
Sharknado. So I'm really excited about this day when it launches and the fans can really dive into it because I think it's badass.
Yeah.
Like, this isn't one of those things where I have to say that. I actually really like it and can't wait to play.
Yeah.
Very cool.
And
very cool.
I, when I was home for Christmas this year, all the like 15, 16-year-olds in my family were like, when's the game coming? Can you get us a copy? Like they can't wait. They're pumped.
I actually had because I have a water bottle with Mirror's Edge on it.
Oh,
and
yeah. Nice.
I was just walking around with it and some guy was like, oh my god, you're into Mirror's Edge? he's like, God, do you know you kind of look a little bit like Faith?
No way.
And I was like, really? Really?
And then you were like, you smell bad. I'm going to leave.
But maybe you should shower, man.
But he just like randomly came up to me because of my small little water bottle. And there's recognition. There's a, there's a following. And
yeah,
a really
everywhere I go, it's
following.
Like, oh my God, you're Icarus.
No way.
What?
Icarus, no way.
Who's Icarus? What?
Brother to his sister.
Yes.
That's exciting stuff, though.
Now,
very exciting.
A little quick history about Nerfed. We actually started out as a Destiny podcast. So we have to ask the question for any Destiny fans that happen to stumble upon this interview. Have you guys ever heard of or played Destiny?
Well, the Wikipedia answer to that is it's an online video game, first-person perspective game.
Yeah, so you didn't get past the first sentence, is what you're saying.
Well, I stayed up. I literally haven't slept because I played it all night. And what I loved is that...
I mean, I went on to Reddit.
It was like Match.com for video games.
It is.
Which
really
I found amazing. Because
that's very interesting.
It's match.
I was matched with these like amazing 13-year-old dudes who just had the same sensibility as me.
As your and, skill set talent.
Yeah, my emotional intelligence. And... we played and it was magical.
Magical.
Yeah.
I was matched up with a 65-year-old divorcee.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
You know, that's possible.
Filipino.
We actually had one in our clan.
Actually, no, he was Egyptian.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
She played again when I was taking a little break.
Well, along those lines,
what's your destiny?
What's my destiny?
Probably, I don't know what my destiny is.
No, I'd have to think about that one. That's a big question.
More interviews.
Yeah. More interviews.
More interviews.
The destiny of Nerfed.
The destiny of Nerfed is to get deeper into video games. That's what we want to do. We want to get deep.
Deep.
Very deep.
Balls.
We have plans.
Deep.
We're building a spaceship. So
yes, we are.
Oh my God, can I come?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, please. Awesome. Of course. Yep. Of course.
To our listeners, we're actually in the spaceship right now.
Exactly. Yeah. We didn't want to give that away.
We're getting ready to go up.
The Nerf ship.
Was that part of my NDA that I just failed on?
Yeah, we did have you sign your firstborn child away, so I'll have that, please.
All right. It's all yours.
Intergalactic traveling.
Hand that child over, you know, for sacrifice. You know, on our show, we always do a top three, but we're going to do a top one today. And we're going to say the top one is top one video game character you would like to be. Who would you like to be? And we're going to discount any Mirror's Edge because that's a cop-out.
That would be my answer.
Jeez.
I want to
be Icarus.
Let me check that off the list because that is the best one. If it had to be like, so in second place.
Of course.
Okay.
I don't think you can go wrong with Jill Valentine from Resident Evil, but I also would love to play Harley Quinn from Batman because she's a badass,
mischievous,
puck-like character.
Nice.
Yeah.
A lot of layers going on with Harley Quinn.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I would have to go a little old school.
Mm-hmm. Mario.
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 Well, if I can't pick Wayne Gretzky as the player that I'd want to be.
You could.
He was in a video game.
Yeah, he was.
Wayne G.
Wayne G, 99. I would have to go with Link.
He doesn't have a speaking role. Interesting. Enough.
Oh,
and that's what I was saying. I was like, so you would choose someone who's mute.
Well, we were joking about this earlier. Because I thought
you'd
it was,
be a mute.
If I wanted to be that person in real life,
he's so deep.
Or is it play that person?
I would say this is someone you want to be.
You want to be
in
that
real
person.
Life.
See,
Harley Quinn.
See, because if a voice actor picks a non-speaking character, we thought that would be kind of lame.
I was like, so they
it's
don't
not
need
necessarily
you.
Necessarily lame, because look at Leo in The Revenant. He doesn't say anything.
Yeah.
You know, all the acting is here in the face.
It's inside. Yeah. You know, so
in the eyes, they say.
Maybe Link is a safe choice. I just think since my gaming is kind of in like that era, what I loved about him is he was this, you know, he was non-speaking. He was kind of like an every child.
You keep
non-speaking.
So Link is an iconic video game.
So
funny.
He's blonde.
What I love is that
he's mute.
But he grows in confidence and he becomes this incredible, mature human being that started off very meek and mild. And I love that, like, trajectory of characters where
you like silent films, huh?
You know what? Some great acting where when someone's not saying anything, okay?
Jesus.
So Link, And he's in Final Fantasy.
Yeah, true. Very true.
So, I mean...
Okay, you win.
I think that's a
best
good,
answer.
I think that's a good answer.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say it was the same.
No, you know what?
I don't know why I said that, actually. So,
no, it's funny.
I'm a Nintendo enthusiast.
It's funny because...
Andy's kind of an asshole. That's why.
As soon as you said it, I'm like, all I can think of is these choices. I'm like, I don't even have some cool answer that all the gamers listening will be like...
Oh, my answer sucks. What about you, Andy?
Luigi.
See.
You know what? Luigi. I was thinking that too. I think Luigi's.
I don't.
Why?
I'm a huge gamer and I can go any direction.
I still don't.
But
I
for
don't
some
get
reason,
it.
I connect with Luigi.
Luigi.
Yeah. Exactly.
What about Bowser?
Bowser's pretty badass. Bowser.
That level in
debatable,
Mario.
Debatable,
Dan. Mario
he always
3.
Gets his ass beat.
He always dies, but
Bowser
he comes
never
back.
Fucking wins. So I don't
yeah.
know.
But he throws fire out of his mouth and in 2D.
True.
I mean.
True.
I guess Luigi's a safe choice too.
Do you like pizza?
I love pizza.
Okay, well then, perfect.
The princess.
Yeah, fair enough.
You'd be the princess.
Yes, I would.
I mean, Mario Brothers is the
it's
game.
It's like the game, isn't it?
And yeah.
It's funny how everything like the revolves around Mario. Really,
I remember saving up to buy Mario Brothers 3.
Oh, really?
Saving up my money from cutting lawns just so that I could have that game and. Like the whistle element where you could go to different worlds.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I mean, at my age, I was blown away.
What was the Fred Savage movie? They debuted that
The Wizard?
The Wizard.
The Wizard.
Yes.
It was a Super Mario 1.
That fucking
1
movie was terrible.
Oh, okay. I know they were like...
Or was it 3?
They were going to show a new one, and at the end of that, he plays the new one.
That's what it is, yeah.
And the power glove's in that movie, and that one scene with the power glove, I don't know. Great movie if anyone's not seen it.
No,
I hope there's a lot of Super Mario fans out there.
There's got to be.
There's still got to be.
No, I meant for this segment.
Oh.
This part.
People are like, and we're out.
Just in general.
So, Mirror's Edge.
Catalyst.
About that. The catalyst.
So
Scott, I mean,
what about you, man?
Yeah, this is a tough question. It's a very difficult question. And I've said it on the show before. It's got to be my number one villain, which is the Abominable Snowman from Ski Free. I would love to be that guy because he always wins. He never loses.
Can you explain Ski Free for
have you ever played Ski Free?
I have heard of that game, yeah.
It was an old DOS game where you were a downhill skier.
I totally had that for Commodore 64.
Oh my God, it's the guy that eats you up. Oh my God.
Yes. Comes out of nowhere. You can't beat him.
I totally used to play that game.
You can't beat
him.
Way too
much.
We're just blowing minds here.
You can only hope to try and evade him.
Yeah.
But he always gets you.
Man. I hated that guy.
Yeah, he was.
Why do you want to be him?
Because I don't know. I don't
he's
know.
Harley Quinn's got soul.
I love it just how he eats the guy and he's like,
Yeah.
It's fucking great, dude.
There's something so charming about
like the ultimate evil.
Commodore 64 games where there was no connectivity. So you were literally playing in a dark room by yourself with this, what seemed like great graphics, but were really like little, like basically Pong graphics.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And the storylines were very basic. It's like, ski to the bottom of the hill or
right.
Aztec challenge, like run up this pyramid and don't get shot by arrows. Like there was something very charming in the simplicity and I love where gaming is gone, but there was something about that where it's so basic.
Mm-hmm.
That's nostalgia.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah.
That's the beginning of
it's
tech.
Without that, Mirror's Edge and Call of Duty and Halo and all these incredible games today wouldn't be where they are.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, we've reached the personal portion of the show. This is where we kind of like step back from either Destiny or Mirror's Edge and kind of talk about personal things. And I want to ask you guys about like what is it about acting? Like, why are you actors? Like, what do you love about acting?
I love acting because it's my form of expression. You know how that we were talking about parkour being a philosophy, a way of life. Uh-huh. I think with acting, it's just a way that we feel, well, I feel, I can only speak for myself, but it's a form of expression. It's mm-hmm. how I choose to express myself. Mm-hmm. It's not everybody's choice, obviously, but I enjoy it because I like living under high stakes. Like there's something really kind of, you enjoy playing scenes that have incredibly high stakes,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah, for me, it's storytelling. There's millions and millions of stories. And every day you open the newspaper and you see some story of a kid in Iowa who did something magnificent, an ordinary kid who did something magnificent under extraordinary circumstances. And the ability to tell that story and reach people and affect people is fascinating. And also, I love stepping into shoes that I would normally not step into. Like, I play a lot of villains. Uh-huh. That's my thing.
All right.
And I don't really
kind of cool.
I don't really get to be bad in my real life.
Right.
I'm Canadian and so nice, eh?
Hey.
And playing villains.
I'm evil, eh?
I love bringing humanity to an awful person where I don't think anyone is absolute evil. So if you see a bad guy that you can kind of understand, like, why he was making these decisions and why he went down that path, mm-hmm. and maybe for a second sympathize with that person, I feel like that's the drug for me. That's so exciting to be able to tell that story and have people say, you know what? That guy is really awful, but I see where he's coming from.
Right, right. It's justified.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, isn't it a rush just being someone else? I mean, isn't that like one of the main reasons a lot of people like to act is just the rush and the feeling?
I would amend that a little. It's like
amend it.
Being
please.
Someone else, being me as
mend
someone
it.
Else.
You as someone else.
Because there are so many great actors and we could all play the same role.
There's a lot of methods. Right. As well, techniques.
Would you guys consider yourselves methods?
Meth heads.
I'm
meth
totally
heads.
A method.
You sounded like method.
My teeth are falling out.
Method actor.
Method actor.
I use a technique that's probably a little bit more like probably closer to sense memory. So I like to play out scenarios from from my real life, mm-hmm. not so much under imaginary circumstances, but more like playing out something that's already happened and trying to get closure or catharsis in a scene by playing that out. That's kind of what I do.
Yeah, I kind of shy away from that term method actor, because I see some actors who, if they're doing a scene where they're a cowboy, they spend a week talking and
Daniel Day-Lewis.
Yeah.
He's amazing.
He's amazing. And
will defend Daniel Day-Lewis to the day we die.
I love him. I
love the guy.
Lincoln.
Ultimate method actor. Though.
But he was doing Hamlet and he saw his dead father's ghost and he had to drop out. Like there's a line where he's so amazing, but then where's your personal life? Like where's the line? So
it's trippy, man. There's some trippy shit going on with acting, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's
we're wizards.
We're totally
makes sense.
Oh, that's it.
Makes sense.
Witches
now.
And wizards.
Who's sense. The greatest living actor in your opinion?
Meryl Streep.
Okay,
I agree. That's fast.
She is
the Meryl.
She's the only.
She's got Super Bowl rings.
I can
talk about a nose.
I can just watch every scene of hers, just her scenes, and get lost completely. Yeah. And it always seems different every time.
Mm. Yeah.
She's always a different character. Like it's not
no,
like,
but even watching the same scene, it feels different. Like it's different every time. And that's like I don't know. She's a witch. That's all I'm gonna say.
I swear the Oscar category should be changed. Best actress in Meryl Streep's category.
Yeah, yeah
right.
It's like, okay.
She wins all the time.
Best Meryl Streep.
Best Meryl Streep.
Best Meryl Streep.
She's been nominated, I don't know, I can't even count it.
It's a billion times.
Yes, pretty much.
But she deserves it. It's not like...
A billion to the number.
There's so many times in the Academy where, this year it's, we're doing the black year, like a black actor that should have won last year.
Right,
this
right.
year he gets it.
Right.
It's like Meryl's just badass all the time. Yeah.
Is that your favorite actress too?
Yeah,
you didn't pick one.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Nice, I love him.
Do the chopper.
I would say that is a controversial answer right there, sir.
That's a safe answer. Just gonna say
Jeff,
it.
That was a safe one.
Safe.
That's the only answer that the DBA would allow you to.
But you know what? Meryl's probably also a safe answer too. Bradley Cooper.
Oh, you kind of look like Bradley Cooper. Are you Bradley Cooper?
I get the Bradley Cooper.
Shit, he was Bradley Cooper all along.
He totally steals all my roles, Bradley.
God damn it, Brad.
I am going to play his brother in a film at some point.
Kevin Spacey. Yeah.
Or a younger one.
Kevin Spacey.
He's kind of old now, isn't he? I don't know. Maybe not.
He's getting into his good years. He's good. I mean, I don't know if best actor of our time, but Tom Hardy right now.
Oh, dude.
Is just
I
like.
I fucking love Tom Hardy.
Mad Max was great.
Yeah.
I
mean.
He's great in everything. He's in The Revenant, too. He's in The Revenant, too.
Revenant?
He is in Revenant. Yep.
Did you guys see Peaky Blinders?
I love
I did.
It. Oh, fucking man. Love it. Season 2, he pops up and he's great.
Pops up.
Evil Jewish guy.
Yeah.
She was great.
What about Carol?
I haven't seen Carol yet.
I've not seen that.
No.
Okay. I guess the cheese stands alone.
Yeah.
Well.
That's an Irish saying.
The cheese stands alone.
The cheese stands alone.
Now, right. Right.
Real quick, just a quick history about you guys. Like, where did you guys grow up and how did you get to LA?
Yeah.
I was raised in Borneo.
Wow.
In a town called Sarawak. We have a lot of cats there.
Really?
And I lived there for about 15 years. And then I moved to Perth for boarding school.
Okay.
And my accent's about to change really quickly now.
Wow, it did.
And then I moved to Melbourne in Australia.
Oh.
Australia.
We actually have, oh, wow. We have a small fan base in Australia.
Our biggest fan base is in Australia.
Outside of America, oh, yeah? Is Australia.
Yeah, they live in Melbourne. Or do they live in Perth?
I don't know. They live in Australia.
One of them.
It's a small country.
Who cares? It's huge. No, I really think you should take that back.
Yeah,
that's really rude.
How dare you?
Mike, you could choke a brown dog, I reckon.
Yeah. What is that? That's New Zealand. You're Kiwi.
I do know Macca's.
Macca's. Yeah, you McDonald's. Like you like Macca's.
I do. I used to game with a lot of Australians, actually, and they introduced me to that slogan. That
Macca's.
So I always tell an Australian, Macca's.
Yeah, no, Macca's when I first came to LA and I was like, oh, let's just go to Macca's.
There must have been
people
there.
Were like, what's a Macca's?
Right.
And why are you eating that?
And I said, oh, let's get something from the boot. And they'd be like, what's a boot?
Yeah, what is a boot?
It's a trunk. Your trunk of your car.
The trunk. Yeah.
Australians we call it the boots. Trunk of the car?
No, we say boot. Boot of the car. Boot of the car.
The boot of the car. The caboose.
The kabooty.
The kabooty.
And then I lived in Singapore and then from
Jesus
Singapore.
Jesus Christ, you lived everywhere.
Yes.
You're like Carmen San Diego.
Yeah, whatever that is.
International woman of mystery.
Yeah, exactly.
She's not
Jessica
even here right
Bond.
Now.
Why does... Anyway. And then I moved to...
Faye?
Where? And then I Where'd
moved,
she go?
Then I moved to LA from Singapore.
Nice. Wow. Well, welcome to LA.
Merci.
De rien. So I grew up in this little town of 400 people, 500 cattle, called Roseville. It's in Canada, a little country
nice.
North of the
America's
border.
Hat.
America's Hat. It's like the loft.
Fedora.
It's like the loft fedora. Above a really cool party.
It does kind of look
side.
Like a fedora.
East Coast side. So it's side. An hour drive west of Toronto.
Great.
And yeah, so I grew up there, moved to Australia as
what?
Well.
What?
Oh,
lived
my
in
God.
Sydney.
Our Aussie
fans are yeah, I lived
Aussie
in
brother.
They're all
lived
just
in Bondi
their jeans right
oh,
now.
Bondi?
Yeah,
you lived in Bondi?
Yeah. So lived in Bondi.
Oh, mate.
Then came back and went to theater school in New York. Yep. I went to Circle in the Square, which is it's a Broadway theater.
You talking to me?
Yeah.
Talking to me.
Yeah, everybody talks like that. So
yeah.
Everybody. No one does. yeah, so I lived in New York for a long time, and then I was doing a one-man show, and my manager today saw me in the show, and she's like, I want to sign you, but you got to move to L.A., and I said, it's time. So
there you go.
Came to L.A. 4 years
ago. This is the epicenter of film, television, and now video games, I would say.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you guys like In-N-Out?
I think... It's
the burger.
The burger.
Sorry, I'm going to change my accent back to America now. The okay. burger?
The yes, burger.
The burger.
The burger.
I mean, everyone thinks of it.
I love it.
So.
It is a healthy Macca burger.
Ooh. Yeah, California.
It's a healthy yeah. Big Mac.
And it's actually real meat.
It's so
which is,
good.
It is.
And I love how they haven't sold out and gone across the country. It's here.
I like there's a secret sauce and yes. only certain people know about it. And I'm not even going to say it on the space because it's that secret.
Animal style.
And, whoa.
How could you do that?
You gave it away.
How could you do
I'm
that?
Just popping secrets.
How dare you? How dare you?
OMG.
There are some secrets that shouldn't God. Be revealed.
And they just were.
He's lying.
I don't know what
he's like.
I don't know
there's no animal style.
There's no animal style.
I don't
just
know,
forget it.
That just came out. I don't know what it is.
I want to make it clear to the listeners that we're not endorsed by In-N-Out.
No, way. We're not.
But sounds like you are.
If they would like to give us free burgers,
sure they can.
I will accept said burgers.
Yeah. Yeah. Said burger.
So between the two of you guys, how many accents can you do?
I can do every accent.
Every okay. all from the beginning of time.
From everything. I mean, no, that's not true. I think I can mimic accents.
She's so talented.
I know, she could do everything. She's just
everything.
So good. No, I am really good at mimicking accents, like the sound. That's just
right.
something I've always kind of done.
We uh-huh. had fun with that on set, playing back and forth with our
Yeah,
our
I enjoy listening to like just different sounds from all over and then trying to do them. So,
cool.
I would say I could probably do any accent if I was given at least like 24 hours to
wow.
sort of go through it.
Yeah, I love accents. Like when I ask where people are from, it's not coming from like their ethnic background. I just want to like be able to copy their
right.
their accent and figure that
and
out.
And be more authentic than they are.
Yeah.
You know? I just want to be better than everybody.
Yeah.
All the time.
Like, I'm not even competitive
is
ever.
When someone from a country will say, I had no idea that you weren't from there. And
no way.
That's I love that. That's a big challenge for us. But I love traveling, and so every country I go to, I love to learn a couple phrases from the country. And so I was in India recently, and I started to learn Hindi, and people were like,
"Inga poringi?"
I was like, "Aap kaise hai? Dika? Aap ka naam ki hai?" And people,
like,
the cab driver, like the rickshaw drivers, would all of a sudden, like the price would drop, like 100%, like 99%,
and four prostitutes jumped in the cab.
Yeah, it was like it was crazy. So I love that when you can kind of bridge.
Hangover five.
Boom. Bradley Cooper's younger brother shows up in India.
Yeah, I mean, I love prostitutes too, so I'm right there with you.
Whoa, Scott! Oh, I didn't know that, man.
Unbelievable.
Jeez.
Unbelievable.
PG-13, bro. Let's keep it there.
We're on the mirror's edge of an R.
We're on
right
the edge. Oh, wow. I like how you use that.
Ooh, so
save.
I think a very important question that we can't end the show without asking is, what would you say to somebody who wants to do what you're doing? Like, what kind of advice? Like, for a new actor or even somebody who wants to get into video games, what would you say?
You know, get some training in theater. I think we talked about, like, it's really great to have, spatial awareness. I think with voiceover, it's not a bad way to get into video games because you can audition for voiceover.
I do a little
voiceover,
actually.
There you go. So just work on voices, work on your particular voice, then play with the pitches and play with accents, then record it, you know, and send it out. And if you've got great voices, people on YouTube are going to notice. Yeah. They will be like, that's a voice I love. Yeah. I want that voice.
And I would say use your imagination, like play, don't use that inner child that when we get into our teens, we kind of crush
suppress and
suppress it. And for anyone who wants to be an actor or a voice actor, like it's play. This is another great thing about being an actor is we get to play.
Right.
And what you talking about, Wallace?
Wallace? What you talking about, Wallace?
Wallace.
Somebody's from Singapore.
I'm from Asia. Everything's dubbed differently there.
Oh.
Wallace.
Oh. What's up, Wallaby?
Wallaby, yeah.
Did you talk about Wallaby?
Yeah.
So I would say training, physical awareness of your body. Like in theater school, I begrudgingly took dance class. Uh-huh. And I was not a dancer. And it helps so much. I will never be on Broadway.
Well, that's a surprise because you did a pirouette when you first came in here.
Yeah, you just like spun in
that
here.
That was another thing you weren't supposed to reveal.
He doesn't do parkour, he does ballet.
Yeah.
I was going to say, we had to cut all those parts out of the mocap.
Because he's so buff.
They're like, we really need a stunt guy because this guy's just like dancing around. Like, fucking.
Like, stop showing me up, dude.
God damn.
Those pirouettes.
Yeah.
So what, that takes a lot of skill.
Now I'm gonna go do push-ups.
Would you guys say that acting is obviously still a real cutthroat industry, and it's still
how competitive
it's
is?
It's really easy for us.
I mean, I work all the time. I make so much money doing what I do. Enough.
But what do you say to people that are?
I can't believe we had time to do this podcast.
Yeah, I have to. Yeah.
I gotta run.
I need a 3 months notice for this because I need a bounce to set. I think it is really competitive. I think LA is a very competitive, I mean, acting in general, there's so many talented people there's so many slices of shade. Like if you're looking for vanilla with a hint of cinnamon, you can get that flavor.
I am.
So
Andrew, there he is.
I think it's about owning your niche, you know, really owning your niche and accepting what that typecast might be.
Yeah, typecast.
Making a little money
a
from
word.
The typecasting.
Yeah,
not a bad idea.
Space.
What are your guys' typecast? What do you typecast as?
Well, what do you see when we walk in?
Bradley
the room?
Cooper.
Bradley Cooper's brother.
I get cast as villains a lot because of just my
darker
ethnicity.
Yeah.
Your RBF.
What is an RBF?
Your resting face.
There you go.
All right, slap.
How dare you?
Well, because
she first mentioned it. You know,
Chinese, Irish. So that I kind of lends itself to being sort of a villain type. Evil. Evil.
That's what I think about when I think of Chinese crossbreed Irish people.
Yeah. Yeah. We're all bad.
Evil. They're all trying to take over the world. Unbelievable. Those mutts.
We're called the super race, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, superhuman race. Yeah.
Yeah.
Better than the rest.
I get the villain thing, like I mentioned. And
like a nice villain,
like
the boy next door villain.
No, I, that's
like a Bradley Cooper villain.
Yeah,
it's funny. That's very it's very specific.
Yes,
that's my next role, actually.
Evil Bradley Cooper.
Evil Bradley Cooper.
I will charm them to death.
Yes.
Oh, fair enough. Fair enough. I want to end the show kind of with a fun fact.
A riddle.
A riddle. I don't have any riddles. I wish I did.
That's a good idea.
Oh, I love riddles.
I want a fun fact about you guys. Something that no one knows. Not even your significant others, family, or pet. Something of that nature.
Totally. Yeah.
My deepest, darkest secret.
Well, the skeletons in my closet will now be revealed.
Oh, you know, or
honey,
lightest, fluffiest.
I love you, but
we had a guest that
I'm
that,
an octopus
that grew chicken eggs that hatches different.
Yeah,
colors.
She had a different. Yeah, she had how different that... color. Yeah, she had different. No, it was like the same type of chicken, but each one had a different color egg or some shit.
And don't ask me.
That was that was fucking awesome.
Out.
So you gotta top.
You gotta top the egg thing. So.
Oh jeez.
Wow, no pressure.
Thanks
for the heads up on this one, guys.
This is a fun one.
We're actors.
We're not smart people.
We can't come up
speak
with these
for yourself.
Things.
Oh, I know.
Speak for yourself.
The teleprompter's not working.
My IQ.
So sorry. You only play dumb Bradley Cooper.
I just like playing like intellectually stunted.
He's really good at it, but
morally.
So you're in Gilbert Grape too, right?
Yes.
Coming out.
Wow,
shortly.
Have a
all right.
For that?
Stop avoiding the question. What's your deep dark secret, Jeff?
Come on, Jeff. Come on.
Your deepest, darkest. Most heinous.
Does it have to be heinous?
It has to be heinous. That's the key word.
Well, I have a cool little... Okay, I just thought of something.
Yeah,
sorted.
Okay. There we go.
Sorted.
Evil.
So I have an amazing 2-year-old nephew named Wyatt. And
aww.
Sister announced... no one else knows this, so hopefully...
Oh.
He's your son.
Hopefully he doesn't hear this.
Oh, that's fucked up.
That's... Yeah. You know what? I'm done. Microphone drop.
And in come the feds.
I'm out. I like you. I like you. Screw you. I'm out.
Oh, shit. It's LAPD. What? Incest division.
All right.
So when my beautiful sister announced that she was pregnant, I made a video to this unborn child saying, you know, welcome. And then every month from then on, I would do like a little video. And then when he was born, I did more videos. So I'm doing these videos.
A video
and
log.
I'm going to put together a video of his life and give it to him when he graduates high school.
Wow, that's going to be cool.
Yeah, so it's going to be...
That's a deep, dark secret.
That is a secret.
And he's going to have a typo negative t-shirt on and chains, and he's going to be like, fuck you, man.
I hate my uncle.
Fuck you, man.
Weird Uncle Jeff in California.
Jesus. You didn't even put clothes on me before you took that picture. Jeez.
Just give me some money.
Yeah, Uncle Jeff.
Just give me money.
You got any of that fake Bradley Cooper money?
Yeah. Drunkle Jeff.
Drunkle Jeff.
Have another drink, Drunkle.
Yes.
How about you take that video you made and shove it up your ass?
He'll like it.
He'll love it. He'll love
it. So thanks for stepping on my secret, guys.
No worries.
I think it's a wonderful secret. What are you talking about, Drunkle?
Oh. I like it.
All right, I'll tell you a secret.
Okay.
I'll tell you
are
a
you
secret.
Ready?
All right, nobody knows this.
Okay. Faith Connor's biggest secret.
It's Faye Kingsley right now. Oh. Faith Connor says... way too many secrets. So when I was in primary school, I went to Chinese school, right? Mm-hmm. And I wasn't really very good at it.
Shay.
Yeah. Wow, oh, 你能够讲华文? Bizarre.
Bizarre.
You're a white boy who can speak all these languages. It's crazy. So I had this Chinese exam, and I used to cheat a lot in my exams, right?
Mm, me
and
too.
So I used to write down all these answers, and I would put them sort of in between my legs here, like, well, you know, your skirt, that sounded sexual. It's not. So where the skirt
is.
And
balls.
Markers. I put the piece of paper here, and then I would cross my legs so people couldn't see the paper. And then when the teacher was walking by, I would unspread and I could see the answer, right?
Sounds like basic
really
instinct,
sneaky,
the
really
version.
Sneaky.
That's
but
sneaky.
The sad thing is I still failed.
Oh.
Still managed to fail that exam. Chinese is hard.
Yeah. I bet.
Even with cheating.
Wow.
Wow.
Well, that's,
so, yeah.
There's a lot of cheating methods, but I have not seen that one.
That one is like stealth, man. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've never told anybody my secret.
Nowadays,
that.
Kids must just have their phone with Google below and
you know, that's too obvious.
You know,
that's too
so
obvious.
Good now,
you know what
right?
I did though? I along those lines, you know, with water bottles, they have we were allowed to have a water bottle on our desk.
Yeah.
Oh my god, I can't
and
wait to hear
I
this.
I took the label off and then I put all the answers on the label
and no one
stick
looked
it back
at
on,
it.
Dude.
Scott has
so
the quadratic
you could look
formula.
Through, so you could look through the water and you could see it.
Okay, but I just didn't cheat, guys. So
you're a goody goody.
I was a goody goody.
You're like
made it
safe.
So far now, Andrew.
I'm not like
you're
you
a nerd.
Look where you are.
look
where
I am.
You
are. In this beautiful spaceship with Van Gogh paintings on the wall. It's amazing.
Indeed. I want you guys to promote the game? What day? Like, give us a little bit of promotion.
Oh, we've practiced this. Okay.
Yes.
Mirror's Edge Catalyst comes out May 24, 2016 on
Xbox One,
PS4,
and PC.
Woo! Nice.
I love
it. Do you guys have Twitters? Are you on Facebook? How can they get an eyeful?
Follow me on Faye Kingsley.
Where can they get Jeff's nudes?
My nudes are
Naked Victor.
All my nude selfies, because that's all I post on Instagram at JeffBerg1. Just search nude Icarus.
Like his schnoz, you can't look away.
Yes. You know, my mom told me that Owen Wilson has a cool nose.
He does.
And I have.
You have
a
the
cool
same
nose.
If by cool you mean crumpled, is that what you
wow.
mean?
Wow.
I'm sorry.
Wow, Scott.
Is this
what?
Just like step
Ouch.
On me day, Scott?
Yeah, I think it.
You know, I've been nothing
but nice
to you.
We will definitely be back.
That can
he
change.
Usually steps on me, so I
that
feel,
can change.
Hey, I'm just chilling there.
There's nothing wrong with that. All noses are created equal in my eyes.
And I'm.
You'll see what happens when you ask me to come back for my next game, Scott.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Next
now
game.
You screwed it up.
Next
you
game.
You called Bradley Cooper's little brother. You screwed us all over.
Shit. Unbelievable.
Evil Jeff is coming out.
You have to be nice to us.
But I'm assuming there's a website for the game. And
you want more coffee? Can I get you a water, a foot rub?
The foot rub sounds wonderful, Scott.
A website.
Mirror's Edge Catalyst, I think if you put it into Google, there's like
we'll
1,000 websites.
Yeah. If you guys don't know, Google machine is the one with all the answers.
Oh, love
it's,
it.
It's the one with the email.
The Google-a-box. Think,
on the Google box.
The Google box.
The Google box. Fair enough.
Yeah. Fair enough.
I would say, Mirror's Edge.
Mirror's Edge.
With that being said,
and
that's what Scott says.
With that being said,
you can reach Andy and I at our Twitters. We have individual Twitters. Mine is Scott Said What. That's Scott Said What with 3 A's.
And I'm This Gamer Says. No underscores, no spaces. It's literally This Gamer Says.
None of that shit. Indeed. We also have at Nerf Podcast, at Nerf Media, nerfmedia.com, Nerf Media YouTube.
Where's
Nerf
the
Media
Instagram?
Gmail. Nerf Media Flamethrower.
Where's the Instagram?
Nerfgram.
Boom.
Do you guys all want to like tweet and Instagram each other right now?
We were planning on asking.
We're going to have an orgy of tweeting right now. That's what's going to happen.
Lucky Faye.
Lucky me. God.
But thank you guys so much
for
coming on the show.
Despite what everyone else says about you guys,
I got to say, I'm going to set the record straight. You guys aren't like, total douches, right?
Yeah, one guy said that.
Only 30%.
Legal issues.
I keep my douche level at 30%.
They did shower today. Kinda.
We did.
You smell nice.
You got to have a clean douche. You can't have a dirty douche. That's terrible.
What?
No, but honestly, guys, we really appreciate it. And we're excited about the game. I'm going to play it. We'll probably do a special about, reviewing it after we play it.
Maybe we should all play it together.
We should do something
of that nature.
That'd be fun.
Oh, my God. It's a date.
It's a date. Another orgy of Twitter and gameplay.
And if you guys are at E3 and we're there, we'd love to get you guys on the
I
floor.
Might,
if we still
I
know
might
who you
ignore
guys
you.
Are.
I
yeah,
might
I
just
say,
walk.
If
right
you guys
by.
Are just going to walk the other direction.
We're like,
you see
they're
the
coming.
The nerf guys are coming. Don't look at them.
You've been nerfed.
And then somebody will tap me on the shoulder and they're like, is that Bradley Cooper?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Thank you, guys.
Yeah.
We can't wait to play the game. And we'll see you guys later.
See you guys.
Thank you.
Nerf out.
Boom.
Balls.
Nerfed. Marker.
Nerf!